fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty "Hail Silver!" The Lone Ranger. His faithful Indian companion, Tonto, the masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. The stories of his strength and courage, his daring and resourcefulness have come down to us through the generations. And nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past and the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver, the Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! Faster, boy, faster! I'm Silver! Away!
Tom Longwell, the youngest, newest deputy sheriff, called at the sheriff's office. In his eagerness to learn why the grizzled old Bart Grant wanted him, he burst through the doors without noticing the slender girl who sat in the corner.
Hi, Sheriff Grant. You sent for me?
Yep. I got a job for you, Tom.
Well, it better be worthwhile. I've been a deputy for 6 weeks, and all I've done is tack up handbills and tote food from your wife's kitchen to the jailhouse.
Take it easy, Tom. You got a good many years ahead of you.
What's this job?
You're to ride out on the plains and see where the professor is.
Who?
Professor Turnbull.
What's the matter with him?
You know who he is, don't you?
Well, I'd ought to. Stop in the same boarding house I am.
That's so.
Well, now, if you think I'm going to ride out and look for him...
Tom, the professor has found something of value.
What is it? Collarbone is some redskin that lived 10,000 years ago?
You better let me do the talking, Tom. You see, Turnbull dug up whatever it was that he came out here to the west to find. He left town at daybreak with a pack mule, figuring to fetch his treasure here. He should have been back here at noon.
Oh, he'll turn up.
It's most sunset. His daughter is worried about it.
Well, then let his daughter go and hunt for him. She can ride a horse.
She's going to. But you're going with her.
Sheriff, listen to me. You made me a deputy to fight against outlaws, not to be a riding partner for a dude girl from the east.
Tom.
The professor's all right. Why, nothing had happened to him.
Tom, I want you...
Chances are he found a new kind of stone or engine arrowhead or some fool thing like that and forgot the time.
Now, Tom, Dad Raddatz, you better not talk to him.
He'll turn up at eating time, Sheriff. Just plumb absent-minded, that's all. Same as all the other What in thunder does he call himself?
The word is archaeologist.
Huh?
And my father is not absent-minded.
Why, I...
Furthermore, Deputy Longwell, it wasn't my idea to have you ride with me. I would very much prefer to go alone, but the sheriff insisted that someone accompany me.
Well, I didn't know you were here, Miss Turnbull.
That's obvious. There's one thing more I must clarify for you. My father isn't interested in stones or arrowheads. For your information, Deputy Longwell, the object of his search happens to be worth several thousand dollars. It happens to be...
I reckon I had that coming, Miss Turnbull.
You better get going.
Sheriff, you'd better save this big, brave lawman to chase horse thieves and murderers. You shouldn't waste his time and courage on anything as trivial as Professor Turnbull. I'll ride out on the plains alone.
Now, Miss Betty, wait, hold on. I'm sure Tom...
Doggone it, Sheriff. I didn't know she was sitting there in the corner.
You get out of here and ride with her.
Well, she won't let me.
Then follow her. Chances are that her boy is absent-minded, like you said, and forgot the time. But I don't want a girl like that riding alone on the plains.
Sheriff, come here.
What's the matter, Miss Betty?
I don't know. Look out this door. There, in front of the stable next door, that horse.
What about it?
That's the horse my father rented. It's come back without him.
That horse wouldn't come back without reason.
Let's have a look at the critter. Chances are it got to be feeding time. Horse got hungry, come home.
But where's my father? Why didn't he come back, too?
Maybe he got thrown off or something.
Save it, Tom. We'll see if there's any...
Sheriff, look at here on the saddle. Looks like the professor got hurt or something.
We'd better go over the back trail. I'll go with you, Tom.
Something's happened to Father.
Sheriff, look at the way Trig Redden's riding this way.
Yeah, coming mighty fast.
Hey, there, sir.
Hey, he's calling you.
I can hear him.
Hold on a minute, Sheriff. I gotta see
you. What's the matter, Trig?
Sheriff, you better come with me. I saw something a few miles out from town.
What did you see?
What is it?
Who's this?
Miss Turnbull. She's the professor's daughter.
Oh. Well, I...
Did you see my father? Where is he? What happened to him?
Now, miss, I didn't say I saw
you
your father.
You came from that direction. What did you see?
Well, I'm afraid it is your father, miss.
Oh, is he badly hurt?
Well, I...
Speak up. I want to know.
Go ahead, Trig.
I'm afraid he's been murdered.
Oh, no.
I left him right where he fell from the saddle when I seen he was dead.
What happened to him?
Someone knifed him.
I guess we both expected this would happen.
Now, hold on, Miss Betty. We don't know for sure that it's your father.
It is. I know it is, Sheriff.
Miss Betty, let me take you to the boarding house.
No, I'm all right.
Did your father suspect someone might do this?
He was sure it would happen when he opened the treasure. There was a curse on the gold. It was written, "Who touches pitch shall be stained with black."
So that's what it was.
What's that, Trig?
I wondered what that was on his hands. They were all smeared with sticky black stuff. It was pitch.
The ancient curse.
Gordon House. Then we'll get out and find the killer. Died right here next to the creek where he fell off his horse.
Sheriff. Look at his fingers.
Yeah. They're smeared with black stuff.
Pitch. Hey, what was it the girl said? Who touches pitch shall be stained black.
There's something along the same lines in the Bible.
Yeah, there is.
Miss Betty told me that her father had spent 20 years studying old documents. He was trying to locate some gold that had been brought here from Mexico a couple hundred years ago.
And he found it. And there was a curse on it.
He found it at the base of the mesa over yonder.
Sheriff, I ain't superstitious.
Now listen, Tom. This man was killed by a knife. We're going to find the killer. Now you forget all that rot about ancient superstitions and get to the saddle.
You're going to leave the professor here?
We'll get him on the way back. I want to see where he was digging.
Steady. Steady there, boy.
Get along there.
Get up there.
As the sheriff and his deputy approached the mesa, they had thought of the strange words Betty Turnbull had quoted and the peculiar black smears on the dead man's hands. Then they saw a white horse near the base of the mesa.
Someone's there.
Maybe the killer.
Hilo,
get up there. Get up, boy.
They spurred their mounts and dashed ahead. As they neared the slender individual who stood near the white horse watching their approach, the lawman shouted,
"Stand where you are!
Don't move. We want you."
I've got you covered.
Sheriff. Why, this is just a boy and his team.
So's Billy the Kid.
You're the sheriff.
You bet I am. I want to talk to you. What's your name?
Dan Reed. What's the trouble?
Dan Reed, eh?
Sheriff, There's where the professor dug up the box.
Yeah.
Well, should I open that old box and see what's inside?
Search the kid first.
Right.
I haven't got a gun.
Make sure, Tom.
Right.
All I've got is a knife.
Yeah. I see the knife. Just keep your hands at shoulder level. Where'd you get that black stuff on them?
From that box.
You admit it, huh? All over the handle of your knife, too. Did you find something, Tom?
Oh, a little trinket of some sort. It just looks like jewelry for the ears or something of the sort.
Gold. Where'd you get that?
I found it in that box. Now, see here, Sheriff. What's the idea of holding a gun on me and searching?
Open that box, Tom.
Right. Well, this smeary black stuff's in all the seams of the box.
So I see.
And the heat of the sun has softened it up.
Yeah. Open her up.
I can tell you that the box is empty. It was empty when I got here, except for the trinket you found in my pocket.
He's right, Sheriff. It is empty.
Why is that black stuff all over your knife?
I used the knife to open the box. I thought it was sealed tight.
You used the knife or something else?
What do you mean?
You killed Professor Turnbull.
Killed? Why, I... Hold on, Sheriff. I didn't kill anyone.
There's no use lying about it. The pitch on your hands and the knife tell the story.
There's pitch on your hands, too.
Well, that's from handling the box.
And the sheriff's hands.
I got it off the handle of your knife.
Sheriff, I didn't kill anyone. I just got here a few minutes ago.
Save it for the jury.
But it's true. I saw where someone had dug in the base of the mason. I saw that box. I opened it and found that piece of gold. I was going to take it to town to see what it meant.
Likely story.
Where's a pack mule?
What pack mule? I didn't see a mule.
Where's your partner?
I'm going to meet him and...
Go on. Go on.
Hold on. I didn't mean what you meant. I'm to meet a friend in town, but he's not a partner in a murder.
Oh, you slipped up that time. Your partner took the most of the gold on the mule and he made off. You were going to bury that box again to hide the evidence. Ain't that it?
No, no, no.
Take him along, Tom.
But wait, I didn't kill anyone.
Come on. You're under arrest for murder.
The deputy took Dan Reed to the sheriff's office and held him there while the sheriff disposed of certain formalities connected with the dead man's body.
Yeah. Well, there. The coroner's got the remains. Things are quiet in town, Tom. Don't anyone know we got a prisoner?
No, I sneaked him in. I don't want a lynch mob to take my first prisoner away from me.
Yeah, good work. I just hope we can control the boys when they learn about this prisoner.
I didn't kill anyone.
Now, look, Reed. Who's your partner?
I didn't have a partner.
When you killed the professor?
I didn't kill him. I was going to say, I was to meet a friend here in town.
Who?
An Indian. His name is Tonto. And if he finds you holding me on a murder charge, he'll...
What's that? A threat?
No,
What will your partner do?
I got nothing more to say.
Ah, look here, Reed. You're young. You might get off without hanging if you help us to get your partner. Now, just where did he go with the pack mule and the gold, huh?
I can't tell you because I don't know.
Oh, then you admit your partner got the gold.
No, I don't admit a thing. I told you all I knew about it.
Sheriff, I...
Oh, Miss Betty.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know someone was
here. It's all right. This boy is charged with killing your father.
Oh, no. I can't believe
it. There's plenty of evidence, Miss Betty. Look at his hands. Stick your hands out, Reed.
Oh, who touches pitch?
But
you keep still, Reed.
His partner's a redskin. He admits that much. We're trying to get him to tell where he went with the pack mule and the gold.
But that's why I came here.
Why?
Mr. Redden saw me and asked me to hurry here and get you. He's captured an Indian.
Oh, an Indian, huh?
Yes. And the Indian was leading Father's pack mule.
But that can't...
You be still. That settles it. Tom, guard this prisoner. And don't let him get away. I'll go get his redskin partner.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
Thank you.
to continue our story. Circumstances put Dan Reed at the scene of a murder. He was held in the sheriff's office, charged with killing Professor Turnbull. While the lawman and a deputy tried to make Dan tell where Turnbull's pack mule and the stolen gold had been taken, the professor's daughter rushed in with the news that Trig Redden had captured an Indian who led the dead man's mule. A score of men stood around the helpless Indian whom Trig Redden guarded until the sheriff came. There was another Indian there. Tonto stood next to his horse on the fringe of the crowd.
I'd welcome the chance to drill you, Redskin. So just stand right still until the sheriff comes.
Come right now, Trig.
Oh, good.
Here he is.
Well, so you got him, eh, Trig?
It's the murdering Redskin sheriff.
Well. What have you got to say for yourself, Injun?
Me not hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get that pack mule?
Me find.
Listen to that. He found it. Says he found it, boys. Yeah.
Wait, just a minute now. Did you examine the pack, Trig?
Bet I did, Sheriff. There's some of the stuff on the ground.
Well, is that stuff gold?
Sure is. There's cups and jewelry and no end of things.
Me, Tom A. Me tell truth. Me find mule.
Now, just quiet down, boys. Quiet down a minute. Let me question him.
Tom A. Always tell truth.
Uh-huh. Tom A. Is that your name?
Hmm. Me, Tom A.
Yeah. Well, where'd you find the mule?
Find them on plains.
Was them gold trinkets aboard?
That's right.
Now, look here, Redskin. You might just as well tell the truth about it. We've got your partner. He says that you're the one that killed the professor.
Me not kill anyone.
Oh. And it was your partner that done the killing, eh?
Tom A. got no partner.
Stop lying. Got your pal. He's in the sheriff's office right now.
That's not true.
Give me the true facts now, Redskin. We already got Dan Reed. Tell your side of this.
Get him up.
Look at that. What's got into him?
Connor was off like an arrow from a bow when he heard that Dan Reed was being held on charges of robbery and murder. He guided the big paint horse to the sheriff's office and reined up at the door.
Oh, Scott, oh, fella, oh.
Connor hit the ground running and burst through the door.
Hey, what's the idea?
Tonto. Me pick you.
Oh, hold on there.
Look out.
Help me help Dan.
Oh, golly, Tonto.
Dan, you come this way.
But, Tonto, my horse, Victor.
Get Victor by and by. Get on, Scout.
All right.
Get
up. Hold on there.
The deputy, he's up again.
No, hold on there. I'll fire.
Get him off, Scout.
Come back here.
Dan and Tonto rode out of town as fast as Scout could carry them. They raced through a small valley and halfway up the side of a hill where they broke into dense woods. They came to a clearing where the Lone Ranger was camped. Dan quickly told the story of the stolen treasure.
I wasn't the only one that had that black stuff on my hands. It was smeared all over everything.
I see.
No one would believe that I just happened along.
Tonto, you said something about an Indian who had been captured.
That right. Him name Tom A. Him tell truth.
Are you sure?
Me sure. Me know when Indian not tell truth.
The evidence is strong against him.
That right. Unless killer found, Tom A. hang.
And Dan will be hunted as an accomplice.
Not only that, the real killer will go free.
Dan, you said that several men had pitch on their hands.
They did have. The sheriff himself and his deputy, Tom Longwell, had it. It got awful smeary from the heat of the sun.
Toto, we still have a couple of hours of daylight. Go to the mesa and see if we can find tracks.
But even if you do, they won't help. The sheriff is convinced that I'm mixed up in a murder.
Him feel same way about Tom A.
Let's look for a trail, then decide what to do.
Tom A. was jailed and carefully guarded while the manhunters searched for Dan Reed. The sheriff was in his office waiting for reports while darkness gathered outside.
Oh, good evening, Miss Betty.
Sheriff, I want to speak to you.
Sure thing. Sit right down here.
Thank you.
Is there something I can do for you?
Well, yes, there is.
What is it?
Sheriff, I think there's been a mistake.
How's that?
Well, you and Deputy Longwell seem convinced that Dan Reed and the Indian Tom Ayer are the ones who killed my father.
Well, have you got any different ideas?
I don't know, but I've gone over the gold relics that were found on the pack mule and...
Yes?
And I'm sure there's a lot of gold missing.
Yeah? Well, why do you think so?
My father spent years investigating that treasure. He had some very old documents that told all about it.
Yeah, I know that.
The documents listed many of the most valuable things that were buried, and, well, they're all missing.
That wouldn't have any bearing.
Of course, Sheriff, the records might be wrong,
but... Sure, they might.
On the other hand, Sheriff, if that Indian Tom A. told the truth, why, we're making a frightful mistake.
Mm-hmm.
If he did find the mule, then someone else killed my father and left the mule after taking the best of the gold.
Sheriff, come quick.
What's the matter, Sam?
Tom A., the Indian. He's been broke out of jail.
What?
Well, who did it?
A redskin. The same one that got Dan Reed.
Of all the damn...
He carried him away in a big paint horse.
I'll see about that. You stay right here and keep an eye on my office till I get back. I'll get my horse out back here.
I'll be here, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'll see what...
We want you too, Sheriff.
What? Mask!
Take it easy. You're riding with me. Hop, oh, come.
Here, help! Help! Let me go! Put me down!
Come on, Silver! No.
Sheriff and the Indian were not the only ones to be snatched to the back of a horse and rushed out of town. When Tom Longwell, the deputy, returned from the manhunt, he dismounted in front of the sheriff's office.
Oh, steady, boy. Steady.
He didn't see the Indian who crouched in the darkness. He didn't suspect a thing until he felt a noose drop around his shoulder.
Hey, what the... He got you.
Take that rope
you
off.
Get up
Let
here.
Me go. Sheriff!
You ride with me.
Let me down.
Sheriff! Boys, come in.
Get him up. Scout!
Helpless in Tonto's strong grasp, Tom Longwell was carried in the same direction the sheriff had been taken. And that was not the end. A little later, Trigg Redden entered his house to find a masked man waiting for him.
I want you, Redden.
Darkness shrouded a hunter's cabin in the woods. Inside, one candle burned on a crude table. But there was light enough to reveal the Lone Ranger's prisoners. Trigg Redden, Deputy Tom Longwell, the Indian Tom A., and the sheriff himself sat in a row on the floor.
If I could just get these ropes off. Here's the masked man. You!
Come in, Tonto. Bring the handcuffs.
Handcuffs?
We found four pair of them in your office, Sheriff. Could use them instead of the ropes.
Me fix them.
Each of you will be handcuffed to that heavy stake that's driven in the center of the floor.
You move this way.
All right, you needn't drag me.
Each of you will have his right hand free, but none of you can escape.
No, you next, Sheriff. Me cut ropes off wrists. There.
You'll regret this.
Now fix handcuff.
Now the other two, Tonto.
Me fix them.
Sheriff, when the professor was killed, it was no ordinary murder. You remember what was written on that old chest?
What's that got to do with it?
Who touches pitch shall be stained black.
Dan Reed.
He's the one person who cannot be guilty.
Oh, that's too tight.
You get used to it.
Now, all of you, listen to me. There was a curse on that old chest.
That don't mean nothing.
It means more than you think, Redden. Between now and daybreak, the guilty man is going to admit his guilt. The curse of the ancients will manifest itself.
All four fastened to stake now.
All right, Tonto. Here's a gun. I'm going to put it right next to the stake. Any one of you can reach it in the darkness.
What's that for?
The guilty man. When he sits here in the darkness, his guilt is going to betray him. He'll be driven into confessing. You'll see, Sheriff. There's just one cartridge in the gun. Just enough for the professor's murderer to cheat the hangman's rope. Take the candle, Tonto.
Me got it.
Remember, as you sit there in the darkness... One of you is a murderer.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. You can't.
Good night.
For the first half hour, the handcuffed men talked in low voices. Then silence fell. The darkness, black as pitch, seemed like an oppressive weight. Each man followed the masked man's words.
One of you is a murderer.
Each man could hear the heavy breathing of the other.
The curse of the ancients.
The hours dragged by. The tension increased until it seemed as if the very air in the cabin was charged with electric energy.
Who touches pitch?
Midnight came, and then another hour dragged by.
Stop it.
I just moved, that's all.
handcuffs.
Each man was clammy with cold sweat. It was 2, then 3 o'clock in the morning. Husky breathing of men whose nerves were strained to the limit of endurance filled the room. Each man remembered that voice.
One of you is a murderer. His guilt will betray him. One cartridge.
Who fired?
Who did that?
Someone used the cartridge. Masked man! Masked man, come in here quick!
Shut up, Drake, shut up!
Bring in the lantern, Toto.
He come.
Why, Tom Longwell,
look at your shirt front.
The gun held a blank cartridge, and you used it, Tom.
No.
Steady, man.
But I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't kill him.
No use lying, Tom. You tried to shoot yourself.
No, he did not.
I didn't.
The gun held a blank cartridge, but it served to name the murderer. You see, the killer thought he could make another take the blame by firing at Tom Longwell. The man who fired that gun is a murderer, and he is marked with pitch.
What do you mean?
The trigger of that gun was smeared with pitch. Look at Redden's finger.
You, Redden, you did it.
And tried to throw the blame on that kid and the Indian and on me.
Here, Sheriff, is a key to your handcuffs.
I'll lay 2-1. We'll find the rest of the gold in Redden's house.
How about that, Redden? Will your house stand inspection?
You got me. Gold is there. You'll find it. There's no need to deny it now.
What about the Indian?
I just turned the mule loose after I got the best pieces of gold. Tommy found it, like he said.
By thunder, it's like that writing said. Who touches pitch shall be stained black. The mark of the killer.
The story you have just heard is a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated.